Well, I would appreciate your prayers tonight. I'm going to say I'm very thankful to be here. And I believe that if you pray and the Lord blesses, we can get something out of this and be encouraging to us. I'd like to look at a chapter that is probably one of the most familiar chapters in the Bible, if not the most familiar, is the 23rd Psalm. Probably really a lot of people in here could quote this, if not all part. But I want to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This scripture is used in a lot of situations, funerals it's used there. It's probably put on the funeral page more than anything else that I've seen. The 23rd Psalm has been a source of encouragement and blessings to many, many people for a long, long time. It is a lot of encouragement there. This was written, of course, by David, the shepherd boy. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know how much you've thought about that, actually, but he probably understood that as much as anybody could understand it. What it meant and what it meant to him as being that. The idea of a shepherd and people as sheep is very biblical. I don't know how many times it is referenced, but it's referenced a lot of times. I think the song they just sang said something about leading some lost sheep to the fold. It's a common thought and a common idea. Who's shepherding you? Well, I mean, it is a good thought because someone is. Something's shepherding you. I hope it's the Lord. But if it's not, it's something. Might be me trying to shepherd me. You know, that don't work. But David has an idea here that the Lord is my shepherd. And it's profound to me as I think about it. In the occupations of life, let's say carpentry. Number of people, Brother Rick knows a little bit about carpentry. Can there be a bad carpenter? I'm thinking of some people I knew over in Webster County where I grew up, West Virginia, was telling me that they spent a lot of money to do it, but they got a contractor to build them a house from the ground up. And they built the house, and they was fairly pleased with it to start with, and they got to move into the house and all that, and the guy got to looking at the house, and he looked down one wall, and the wall wasn't straight. The wall was kicked out in a brand new house, and the wall was, he said, well, what's wrong with that? And he started looking, and they hadn't done, I don't know how a carpenter would make, I've been a carpenter and made many mistakes, but that's one it looks like it had to come out somewhere. But he looked at it and said, that ain't right, and got to looking, and they had the wall crooked, and of course they had the wall crooked, and the rafters didn't set right, and he got to looking at the house, and it was a mess. It was a mess. Can there be bad carpenters? There can be bad carpenters. Can there be bad mechanics? There was a small garage over there where I grew up, and guy went in for an oil change one day. He took his car in and got through with the oil change, and he paid the bill, and he drove off, and he drove about 2 miles up the road, and his car locked up on him. Well, what's wrong with this? And they got to looking, and they had the car towed, and they went to check, and the guy hadn't put oil back in it. He took it out and put the plug back in, but he didn't put no oil in it. And the guy took all the drive. Can there be bad mechanics? Can there be bad people in any occupation? Can there be bad dentists? Is there dentists that bad? Is there bad people in occupations? Can there be a bad shepherd? Yes, there can be a bad shepherd. And perhaps if you'll give me such liberty as knowing the ins and outs of shepherding, I don't believe David was a bad shepherd. There's indications in the scriptures that he was a good shepherd because he gave himself to that, to the plan of it. And I think that he probably understood it and all of that. But do you think that it's possible that David also realized what it was to be a bad one? What would it be to be a bad shepherd? If you was a shepherd, you would want to see your sheep fat and frolicking. You'd want to see their wool rich, and you'd want to see that. And you know, sometimes you drive by a field and people have horses, and you can see the ribs sticking out. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes people will leave a dog in the house for days without feeding it. And there's bad stewards, bad stewards. And probably David understood and recognized this. And when he looks at the whole thing and concerning the needs of his life, needs of his soul, the needs of what he was as a person, and when he looked and understood about himself, he probably no way wanted to shepherd himself. There's probably no way that he would want to take on the job of trying to shepherd himself, because he looked at it and said, there's no way I can shepherd myself. I can't be the shepherd of myself. I'll mess it up. I would be a bad shepherd. And I want to tell you, many people are looking to things in this world as trying to find a meaning in their life and trying to find something that's worthwhile. And I want to state here in this and in all services that I do, as Christians, we love everybody. Jesus died for everybody. And as a Christian, we love everybody. I want ill will to no one. I want, no matter what their orientation or what their place or what their life is, I want them to find the good shepherd. I want them to learn about the shepherd that can lead them and guide them and bring them to the right place. We have no ill will, and nothing that I say means that. And sometimes I'll use this, and I'm about to. But as I look at the world and see all of the things that's going on in our world, from the transgender stuff to excessive piercings and tattooings and excessive things in their life, I can look and say automatically, people are needing something. They're needing to feel something and express something, and they're needing something, and they're trying to shepherd themselves into it. They're trying to let the world shepherd them, and trying to let the Hollywood do it, and all these things shepherd them. And it isn't getting them anywhere. All of that's a bad shepherd. Taking people to the wrong place and to the wrong idea. But there was one that said, I am the good shepherd. And a good shepherd gives his life. You understand it? Gives his life for the sheep. So David looks at this, and in my mind, he looks at it and he understands what the shepherding is. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Because I can't shepherd myself. And when I get the ideas about what I'll do and what I'm going to do, and everybody in here that's lived for the Lord long enough knows, probably finds out, will know that when you start taking your own way, you start getting in trouble. He says it like this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, what was he talking about? There's always something in there. But what he was saying is that I don't have to fret over this. I don't have to be anxious or worried. When the Lord is my shepherd, knowing what the good shepherd is going to do and the way he deals with me in my life. And as a shepherd boy, he was very astute to the idea that dry weather is coming. And we're going to have to move to the water or the mountain valleys. because the sheep's going to need water. They're going to need green grass. He was very aware of the moments to coming. Do you know that the Lord looks into the future of every one of us? The Lord knows what the sheep's going to need. He knows where He's taking us. He knows how to plan our days and our lives. And this is coming. I happen to be 63 and moving on, okay? And the Lord knows that I'm different now than I was when I was 20. He knows my needs are different. I'm not the same person I used to be. I don't have the same fortitude that I used to have. I don't sleep as well either. I mean, things are different than they used to be. It's easy to be frustrated because I can't hang on to anything anymore. I drop stuff and I'm clumsy and I don't lift my feet as high as I used to. And I trip over stuff and it catches on my boots. And my skin rips easier. It used to be something catching there. And now it rips like crepe paper sometimes. I mean, I'm older. Hit my head on so many things anymore. The Lord is my shepherd is an important part on this because He knows that and He prepares us for that if we'll allow Him to be our shepherd. We've got to allow Him to be our shepherd. We can choose who's going to shepherd us in this. And we can choose to say, I'm going to shepherd myself. But if you do, you're going to make a mistake because you're not going to see into next year. You're not going to see into tomorrow. You're not going to know what's going to be needed in your life. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I don't have to want with the Lord my shepherd, because He's going to watch after me where I don't have to, and I can't. He's going to do it. And so the things that come into my life, the Lord's already got that in control. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. David, what are you talking about? Your life isn't always that way. Oh, not like waves upon the ocean, tossing wildly and rolling high, or the great tempest, how's it say, or the tempest, this great commotion as it sweeps across the sky, but like twilight, yes, gently stealing over the shaded verdant leaf. The writer had something in mind. His life, oh, no, it's not, but the Lord's my shepherd changes it. But the Lord's my shepherd changes it. It becomes all those. Yes, those things happen in life. But if the Lord is my shepherd, He takes me to these places. They happen in life. But oh, the Lord only allows what's to happen in our life, what's best for our life. He restoreth my soul. This psalm is more than just thinking about the natural things about life. This scripture is referring to our spiritual lives and how we deal with things in lives. And you know, the interesting thing to me about life is living for the Lord. The Lord knows exactly where I'm at. I remember years ago, I used to testify about this a lot, but it was amazing to me. We went to service one time. This was when my first wife was alive. We hadn't been married but 1 year, I think, maybe two. We're going on the second year. And we lived in this little place over in Webster, a little house trailer we lived in. And we went to service. And I'm pretty sure we didn't have no children, so it was our first year of marriage. And we went to service, and Brother Sammons preached this. Boy, he preached this message about hitting the rock. Don't stop praying till you hit the rock. He really got in. You pray and you hit the rock. And when you have a need, don't you stop. You get in there. And I remembered the message, and I remembered it stirred me. And I was just like, that's just exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to get there. That's all. I had a desire. I'm going to prove that brother's message. I'm going to prove that. Well, we got over home and done some other things that day and then that night. And when we got back to the house, my wife started getting, I can just tell you the way it is. I don't explain the whole thing about it, but she was kind of a fearful person anyway, and she started getting afraid, and she got very, very fearful. And I asked her, why are you fearful? I don't know. But she was so fearful. I mean, she couldn't function. She was so afraid. But didn't know what she was afraid of. And I was, what are you afraid of? And I remember we went into our little place there, and I was trying to deal with her. Why are you afraid? And to me, it's supposed to be logical. Not everything's logical.
But I tried to find a logic in it, but there was no logic in it. She couldn't tell me, well, this happened or that happened. I'm afraid I'm going to die. Or I'm afraid this is going to, or lightning's going to strike. Or she was just overcome with fear. And I was there trying to help and deal with it. And all of a sudden, just like that, the Lord brought back to that message that Brother Sammons had preached that day. You need to hit the rock. And I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do. You wait here. And she was in the lighted bedroom there. And I went. And there was a dark, long hallway down to the living room. And I went down through there. And whatever it was, I say the devil, that fear was on her, attacked me. And I've never been given that to fear or anything like that. But I'm a human being. And I was walking down a dark hallway. And there was a voice sitting there saying, you better turn the light on. You better turn that light on. You better turn the light on. And I was walking down through there with the determination, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go pray this down like Brother Salmon said. And there was a dark, heavy darkness that I could feel surrounding me. And walked down the hall, and it was like, you better not get down and pray. I mean, just a fearful thing come over me. And all I have to say, I actually feel, you know, the feeling kind of, the hair kind of lifts up on the back and you get the prickles. And I actually felt that. And I was tempted to fear. I was tempted to run. I was tempted to turn the light. I was tempted to do that. But you know what stayed? Hit the rock. Hit the rock. The Lord had already prepared me. Hit the rock. And I went and got down at the couch in the dark. And the heavy darkness went down with me, right down to pray. And boy, I opened up and started praying until the heaviness lifted off of me. And it was dark in the room, but the whole place lit up. Yes. And I got up out of there. Fear had been driven off. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Don't mean it ain't going to come, but he'll take you to the still waters. There'll be victory. There'll be victory there. You know, I walked back down and went back into the room, and my wife's sitting in there just happy as she could be. I said, well, are you okay? Yeah. Are you afraid? No, not afraid. Thank you, Shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that we can have. We can have that in life. He leadeth beside the still waters, an easy image. I'm not afraid of still waters. They don't bring danger to me. He leads me into a place that's not dangerous for me. This is not a dangerous place for me. The devil may rage around me, but it doesn't have to get me. I don't have to be afraid of it. These are still waters. The Lord will bring us to still waters. I look at the world around us. It's a mess. Isn't it? It's a mess. Did you ever think in your wildest mind that you'd say that the country and the world is in the place that it's in its spirit, where it's at now? Well, why am I at peace then? Why am I beside still waters then? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm there. Our goal and desire is to lead the people and tell them about a shepherd that'll take them to still waters. You don't have to live like that. I like to tell people that's in that place, instead of being condemning, instead of running somebody down, instead of doing that, I like to tell people you don't have to be that way. I remember one time talking with a scammer, and he opened up and told me his name and everything. A guy that was doing one of these Facebook scamming things, and ended up talking to him, and the first thing I said to him was, brother, friend, he was trying to scam me and you and anybody else. He was a scammer. I said, brother, you don't have to live like this. There's a better life than this. The Lord can give you better than that. Ended up talking to him. He said that he graduated with a 4.0 and was an accountant and all this thing. And COVID had hit and he lost his job. And he said, brother, I'm trying to survive. I don't have to hate that man. I don't have to hate him. And take him to the good shepherd. That's what he needs. He needs to be led by the shepherd. And the shepherd can lead you beside the still waters. I recommend the shepherd tonight. But to be a shepherd, for half the shepherd's going to have to be like a sheep. Needy. Recognize the need. I need something. I need the Lord to lead and guide me. Yea. Oh, I'm sorry. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. Well, that's a statement. For thou art with me. Why? Why can I not fear any evil? For thou art with me. My shepherd's taking me there. And I want to put all of this kind of together on this last slide. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now he's talking about the valley of the shadow of death, and I've got a bunch of enemies. But in the middle of it all, thou art with me, and the enemies that I have are still my enemies. But he prepareth a table before the presence of my enemies. Right in the middle of it, I'm blessed. And then he says this. And want to get a hold of this for anyone that's in trials, having trials, or going to have them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's quite a statement. In what situations? When I run out of substance? When my health is shot? When I lose the closest people in my life? When one thing after another breaks down in my life? When all of these things happen? Do I say this? Yes. Because thou art with me. There's no way I can stand up here and preach this and say, if you get in the right place and give the preacher your money, you surely will have goodness and mercy all the days of your life. That's not what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that when the Lord is my shepherd, what a blessing this is to me. Because when the Lord is my shepherd, it is all goodness and mercy. All of it is goodness and mercy. Even when the things that seem to come bad comes into our life and I have those that's going against me, it seems like such a bad place. It's not a bad place when the Lord's my shepherd. The Lord only allows what's right in your life. The Lord's only strengthening you and helping you. The sheep doesn't know what's best for them. They don't know what feels best for them. They don't know what water to drink. They don't know whether they should winter here or winter there. They need a shepherd. The shepherd is the one that leads and guides in that. We have life to live. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you will have reverses in your life. You're going to have some negative things in your life. You will have some. But the Lord is my shepherd will change the dynamics of that. He is only intending you to in the good places, and the shepherd would only take the sheep. Do you really think that the good shepherd is going to take one of his sheep and let them be destroyed? You think he's going to stand by and let them be eaten by wolves? The good shepherd in a story in Acts, the good shepherd was standing on the right hand of the Father, standing, not sitting, standing. He was alert when one of his sheep was being stoned to death. Was he stoned to death? Yes, he was stoned to death, but he wasn't overtaken. The shepherd was right there to make sure nothing was going to overcome that brother in his time of need. And he allowed the best thing for all to be done there at that time. And he led him to that point in that time. I'm not taking a political situation or side or place in this at all in any way. But there was a lot of commotion made over this shooting of Charlie Kirk. Bobby, if you've listened to the news at all, you've seen it and heard it. And it was a big deal and all those kind of things. I know people do evil things and do bad things. But you can't take one of God's children out of his hand. Only he can do it. You cannot do it. And if the Lord allows it, he does allow it from time to time. And he allows that things. He does it sometimes for greater movements. He does it sometimes to touch more than any human being can do. He can reach and touch things that nobody else can do. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The bullet didn't get Trump. It got him. But he's the choose. I'll say this about ministry. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. There's times, I say all the time, but particular times, there's been at least three times that's monuments to me in my ministry. Because an occasion arose to the point that I was way in over my head. Well, you may say, brother, I think you're in over your head every time you get up. Well, I would agree with that, but there's been times that it was no doubt I was in over my head. I did not have anything. And one time in particular, we had been at Guthrie, Oklahoma for a meeting. One of my children, there was a number of flus going around with the symptoms of the flu. It was like she caught all of them at the same time. She had all of the symptoms of flu. We're on the way home. My daughter starts going into fever convulsions, where she would just roll back and go into these convulsions. So her fever was so high, and the convulsion breaks the fever, and she would be, the fever would go down a little bit. She'd end up waking back up, and she'd go, then was that, and we was frantic, and we was praying for her, and we ended up making it home. I remember we was beside the road on the way home calling for prayer and begging the Lord. Our children was praying, and everybody was praying. We got home, and she was still sick and having some issues and those kind of things, and there was two different groups of people that was going to come to our services that Sunday, and I had to preach. And I was empty, totally, totally empty. I had nothing. Couldn't get anything. I had nothing. I didn't have the fortitude. I didn't have the energy to do it. I had to try to do it, and I ended up saying, I can't do it. Lord, I can't do it. They're coming to hear me. They're coming to hear. They made plans to do it. I left Guthrie to come home so they'd be there. They're coming here for the first time. They're supposed to be there. And I, Lord, I can't do it. I know what I'll do, I said. I know what I'll do. I'll call Brother Tony. He was in Kentucky at the time. I'll see if Brother Tony can take care of it. Lord told me specifically, no. So I know. No's easy. You know, no, it's easy. It's easy. I knew what no was. But I'm a little, after a while I said, I'm going to call Brother Clint. I'm going to see if Brother Clint can come down. I'll tell him the situation, see if he can come and help him. And I had it in my mind, I'm going to call Brother Clint, and the Lord said, no. No. I had to consecrate to the Lord and say, Lord, this is all yours. I will get up. I don't know what else I'll do. I'll get up. I got up. I got up feeling as empty and as useless and not thinking anything could happen until I opened my mouth. And something happened that was so far beyond me that it astounded me. And the Lord done that, and after it was said and done, and this is nothing to me, that's what I'm trying to tell you. There is times that the shepherd knows what he needs and knows how to get it. And the only way for us to live life is for the Lord to be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows how to touch those people, and he knows how empty I have to be for him to be able to do it. And I asked the one, I said, well, you all come back. And he simply said, and it's nothing to me. He simply said, brother, if you're going to preach like that, we're going to be back. And I'm like, oh, brother, if you only knew. When I say it's not of me, it's not of me. I shrank. God needed something a little more than he could get. And he was the shepherd that got me there. I can look back at that and say, Lord, I wouldn't go through that or get that. And by the way, he touched my daughter too. And healed her. He's a good shepherd. Another time we was in Wisconsin. I'm going to tell you two of them. Because he's the good shepherd. I was in Wisconsin and my son was sick. It was Sunday morning. And it was the same kind of situation. I had was in a tent meeting. I was duty bound for service. My son was sick. I was dealing with a sick son and all of the stuff that goes along with it. And I ended up just saying, I can't do it. I can't do this. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? It wasn't me. But the message I preached that morning is still talked about today by the people that was there. And it had nothing to do with me. He moved me, emptied me, moved me out of the way till I felt the nothingness of who I was and this. And Lord, I'm totally and totally depending upon you to do something here. And when I got that fully out of the way, the Lord took over. And it was, like I said, of all the years I went up there, it was the most talked about, blessed message, most anointed. The Lord definitely done something with that at the time. And when it was all said and done, the Lord healed my son too. He wasn't just wanting. He used something to make me empty. Would you choose that? I'm talking about a shepherd. And it's not shepherding ourselves. Because there's no way in the cause of God and God's kingdom that we can shepherd ourselves into saving souls. You can't do it. We need the Lord to be our shepherd. Lord, lead us. Help us to be what we're supposed to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to want or worry about the things. Don't say that I'm perfect or I don't from time to time. But I don't have to worry and want. The Lord will give the message that He wants in the hour. If I can get out of the way, if I can allow the Lord room to work in my life, He'll do it. Too often we try to do the things, even in the work of the Lord and goodwill, sometimes we miss the idea of it. I remember reading a story one time, supposing that it was true. I can't prove it. The story was written to be true. There was a group of people in Chicago that was interested in reaching out to people, and the pastor and his wife, and the pastor wasn't really involved with it as much. The wife was, and the wife had some zealous people in the congregation, and they decided that they wanted to make a real effort to reach out to the community around about them and do the work of the Lord. They wanted to do the work of the Lord. And so they teamed up and they went out with their literature and they went out with their things and they went to the doors and they went to the here and they went to the parks and grocery stores and they went in here and there. Nothing. They had this and they got discouraged. And the wife finally says that this ain't going well. This is not what I thought. This is not going well. I thought the Lord wanted us to do something and it ain't panning out and it don't feel the Spirit and whatever else she said. And she finally said, and we'll take a different approach. I'm going to pray about it. What a novel idea. So she started praying about it first. She started and she gave herself to prayer and started praying in the Lord. And while she was in prayer, the Lord gave her a vision of a certain apartment number and the vision of it. And she had, plainly got a vision and she was done and she saw a street sign. And she goes to her husband and say, I feel like the Lord gave me something. And I was in prayer and I saw a sign that said Lincoln Street, I think it was. Lincoln Street. And he said, she asked her husband, is there a Lincoln Street in Chicago? And he said, I don't know if there's a Lincoln Street or not. So they got out their maps and stuff and they looked. And sure enough, there was a Lincoln Street. And said, I want to go look at Lincoln Street. And so they're driving down Lincoln Street in Chicago, away from where they're at. And they're going along and they're driving along. And all of a sudden she shouts and said, right there is what I saw, right there. And she gets out and she walks up these flights of stairs and goes up and knocks on the door. And while she's knocking on the door, she hears a groaning inside. And there was an old lady that had fallen and broken her hip and had been laying there for like 3 days praying that God would send the Lord here, somebody that can come in and help me. The Lord is our shepherd. He can bring the two ends together. The Lord knows how to. You lead yourself to something like that. Do you know what kind of encouragement and faith building it is when God walks with us? Yes. You know the only way you can get there is the Lord is my shepherd. The only way to find spiritual benefit is the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He leadeth me into these places. And will goodness and mercy follow me all the days? Yes. It may not look like to the casual observer that that's good.
It might not look that's mercy, but the scripture has declared, when the Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why should I be discouraged in getting older? Why should I be, if the Lord is my shepherd, he can lead me. He can lead me. He can help me. He can guide me. He can help me to do the things that I need to do in life. The Lord is my shepherd. And what benefits do we get from the Lord is my shepherd? Told this recently at home. Brother Jim White, which was a great friend of mine and quite a mentor to me and a help to me in life. And maybe some of you don't know him here, but those that did was impressed by him. He was a wonderful man. He loved the Lord and he pursued the Lord. And he was an old World War II veteran and he had so many stories. And he loved to tell the stories and he loved to tell people about the Lord and how the Lord spared him and put the Lord in everything. And he started planning a trip to La Ronja, Louisiana with me, and he was weeks in advance, if not months. He started saying, I'm going to go down to that meeting with you. And, oh, Brother Jim, let's go to the meeting. And then right up, and we got right up in the time to go after all that. And he talked about it and talked about it and got right up to the time to go. And I said, all right, Brother Jim, it's about time to go and all this. And he said, Brother Marty, I'm not going. Brother Jim, we've talked about this for weeks, months. I can't get clear, he said. Well, okay, you can't get clear. What does that exactly mean? You can't get clear. The Lord won't clear me to go. Well, maybe you heard him wrong. Or you know what I'm saying? The doubts that we naturally can have. What do you mean the Lord didn't clear you? I mean, was there a neon sign? Was there a flashing light? Did lightning flash? Or I mean, what do you mean, you know, by that? I didn't say any of that. I'm just saying this is a way we can think. He said, the Lord won't clear me to go. He couldn't feel like the Lord wanted him to go. So he didn't go. So I drive all the way down to La Ronja, and when I get out at the campground there and all, I get the word that Brother Jim's sister passed away. Now, if Brother Jim would have been with me, I'd have had to have turned around and not been in the meeting and went back home. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you can lead and guide people in their life, and that Brother Jim is one that can listen and you can hear it, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It might not look right. It might not look like what we want and all that. But God, because it's the good shepherd, it's goodness and mercy. And he'll make sure that it's goodness and mercy. All things work together for good to them that love God, them that called according to his purpose. We know that all of these things are right in the Lord. And it might look like the storm's bearing down. It might look like there's loss in all of these things. And the Lord turn all of those things around. I live in a flood zone. One year the water was getting high, and it got higher, and it got higher, and it got higher. And I kept getting concerned, and kept getting concerned, and I kept getting concerned. I was running low on firewood that year, and I remember that flood was right there about January or so, and I remember being low on firewood and needing firewood, and this flood comes, and it starts around my house, and the water keeps getting higher and higher, and got in part of the garage and all there, but right before it got into the house, it didn't. And then it went back down and all that, and all the things that I thought was bad, and it was terrible, when goodness and mercy had followed me. And when I got up and looked around, the Lord had delivered a bunch of firewood down to my house. And I didn't tear up anything. As a matter of fact, my yard was cleaner when it got through, because it washed some stuff out that was there, and washed some wood into the sides of that. And I had firewood delivered to the house. And I said, goodness and mercy shall follow me here. The Lord bless that. Because I'm not saying that it wouldn't have been, if it had tore something up, it would have been goodness and mercy, because he's the shepherd that knows. And he knows how to lead and guide us into what we
what we need in life. And another time, the water wasn't out of the banks, but it tore some trees off the river bank, and the water kept raging and getting higher, and it kept eroding, and it eroded off beside the river bank, and the river bank kept coming closer into my house and closer to my house. Finally, I'm looking out the dining room window and looking about a foot over from the edge of the foundation of the house. I could look down 6 feet down into the river. I mean, the river had moved 30 feet from over there over to the house, and it was undercutting it, and I'm standing out on the bridge, and the neighbors are all coming looking at the thing, and they said, look at me, and said, what are you going to do? Well, there's some moments that's there's no use in not being light about it, because I don't know what I would have done. I mean, I said, I don't know, what would you do? There's a roaring river coming down about to take the house down. That's what it looks like. So I got to testify a little bit. I said, when I bought that house in 91, I committed it to the Lord. It's the Lord's house. And if the Lord wants to take it down North Fork and down Deer Creek, down the Greenbrier River, I suppose he can do what he wants to with his own house. But if I know the Lord, he's going to stop it before it gets the house. And then the state's going to come back in, because it's really undermining the integrity of their bridge. They're going to come back and want to fix this better than it ever was. You want to know what happened? Goodness and mercy followed me. The state come and looked at that and said, boy, we better fix that. That's going to get behind the bridge. It's going to take our bridge out. So they got a bunch of material, big riprap, limestone and stuff, and built up the edge of the river and made my yard all pretty and over to the edge of the river and fix it back better than it ever was before. I was better off because it happened. Now, you can say things happen to everybody, and I agree with you. But David looked beyond it and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need to want for anything. I don't need to wonder about it. The world can get rougher. People can become more violent. Actually, there's a prophecy that the people in the last days will be fierce. They'll be fierce. They'll be mean. There'll be things happening. But the Lord is my shepherd. When David was a shepherd and there come a lion and a bear, he slew them. He knew what a shepherd was supposed to do when it comes to the sheep. And he also realized that there's bears and lions that he can't defeat. There's things that I can't beat. There's movements and principalities and powers and wickedness in this world you and I can't beat. The Lord can beat it. The Lord can help us beat it. We got to have the Lord in our own life to overcome the things in our own life. The beast that raises up. The Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It's why the saint can look on the deathbed and say, thank the Lord, I've lived a good life. Thank God for everything that he's done. That's why they can be in pain and look up with victory in their life. That's why they can still raise their hand. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. I don't need to. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That ending is the concrete statement in this, that the devil can't get me. I might give in to him. I might give up. But as long as the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing that can take me. There's nothing that can harm me. There's nothing that can hurt me. Because in defense, there's times, I've heard it said, I'm not sure about, I've never been a shepherd and those kind of things. But there's sometimes that there's pain is gain. Sometimes that go through things that may not be the pleasant, most pleasant thing to do, but it's the best thing to do. There may be sheep that would rather lay down by the still waters and by the river and be down there when it's time to climb the mountain. It might be suffering to climb the mountain. But you need to climb the mountain. You need the resistance of the mountain. You need to be able to get up there. You got to go and be able to do it. Many years ago, I was a surveyor.
And I thought this was such a valuable place to me in my experience. And the Lord sent me over next where I used to grow up. The boss sent me over there with a... We already had some places in the ground already marked, some stakes in the ground where monuments needed to go on a survey we was finishing. And so it was on the top of the mountain. And there was no road up on top of the mountain. The road was down on the bottom. And so my job was to take some inch rebar, 30 inches long, and I think I had three or four of them, a sledgehammer to drive them in with, and take those things up to the top of the mountain where along the ridge where the stakes was at, and drive them in and put a thing on them, make it for a corner's property survey. So I took off, crossed the little creek that was there, and took up the hill, and I said, oh, I wonder how far I can go with these inch rebar. They're heavy, big rebars, heavy on my back, and digging into my back, and a sledgehammer, and up the hill I go. And I started up the hill, and I thought, I wonder how far I can go with these like that. So I kind of pushed myself, and those rebar started digging into my shoulder a little bit. And I remember thinking, when I get to that oak tree right up there, I'm going to stop and rest against that oak tree. And by the time I got up to that oak tree, just as plain as it could be, I heard this little voice saying, don't stop. Keep going. And it's like, well, I'm not in so bad a shape. I mean, I'll just obey that pretty easy. And so I kept it going and kept going. And I thought, well, I get up to that, I'm going to rest right up there. And I'm to keep going. Keep going. There was a voice saying, keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. And the bars was getting heavy and the hammer was getting heavy and it was starting to hurt. And I got up and I seen the top. And I said, oh, I'm about there. I'll make it up there. And I got up there, and it was a false top. You know, you can only see up and could see beyond it. And actually, the top was way up there. Yeah, still up there. Well, and I said, don't stop. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. It become grueling. Don't put that down. Keep your load. Keep going. Keep driving. Go. Keep going up the hill. I got till I started telling myself, I know y'all think, this guy is weird. This guy has lost it. It was such a lesson in this. I got to, I was saying, I don't know if I can do it or not. Keep going. I got to just say it. I can take another step. It ain't hurting me so bad. Well, I can take another step. I made it from the bottom all the way to the top. And when I got to the top, you can lay your burden down. I never would have thought I could have done it. Do you know the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord was trying to show me something. And he wanted me to get the lesson to this. You've got a lot more than you think you do. You can do it one step at a time. God wanted me to have... The lesson of climbing, it wasn't about me, my ability to climb a mountain. He wanted me to say, I'll do it for heaven. I'll do it for heaven. If I can do it and walk up this hill, I can do it for heaven. With the load that I have and the pain that I have and all of that, you can say, well, I can lead myself. I don't lead myself that way. The shepherd leads that way. The shepherd looked and said, this guy needs something, and we'll give it to him. I'm going to bless and help him in his life. Sometimes it's blessings. Other times it's pains. Sometimes there has been times. There was two different times in my life to where I felt so desperately helpless. One time was I put a load of junk on my truck. For my neighbor. It wasn't even for me. It was my neighbor. I threw a bunch of stuff on there. And one of the things on there was a bunch of window frames that... I don't know why people put that many nails in window frames. But they was in there and they was all... And I threw it up on my truck. Two or three of them window frames. Glass and everything in it. But, and the nails was up. And my neighbor's the old lady. She said, don't you think you better tie that down? Famous last words. I said, no way that can come off of there. All that stuff. And no way it can come off of there. Well, it did. It come off the truck, and it come right out, and it landed right in the middle of the road, two window frames with all those nails and all that glass, and those nails and stuff sticking right up like that. And it come off, and I knew it was off, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and it was kind of one of them rolling hills, and I heard a car coming, and I was running because, I mean, all I could think was four tires across there, just, you know, and I was, and I was running, and here come this little little Ford Ranger, and thump, 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 right across. Then I heard a Jake brake from the other grade there. You're coming 18-wheeler, and that's a lot of wheel. That's a lot of tires. Oh, they're still out there, and I'm trying to run right on by there now. I remember, Lord, help in this. How do you think something like that can end? No good. I said immediately when I saw the Ranger pull off of there, his tires was going flat. The big truck just kept going. I don't know whatever happened to that. I'm out there getting off of there and trying to get the glass cleaned up. And the guy come back by that was in the truck. And I told him to go up to the garage. I said, listen, it's my fault. I'll pay whatever you need. He went and got it, and he ended up telling me, it can't end good, can it? You know how it ended up? The guy come back and said, listen, those was old tires, and all I had to do is get them plugged. He said, no big deal. He said, but I do want to tell you something. I appreciate you doing this. He said, if you'd have kept going, nobody would have known it was you. He said, last week, some logs come off of a truck and hit my wife's van and tore it all up, and they kept going, and we never did find out who it was. He said, tore it up. He said, you're out here cleaning the glass off the road and taking responsibility. I just want you to know I appreciate it. Thank you for doing that. How could I be honored in something like that? And here, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Another time I was not watching my car and around and knocked a gas. I knocked a gas meter plumb off the gas hose. Gas running out of there. I'm thinking of all the money that there's probably in that, going to be in that. Guy goes out there and tries to stand on it and stop. It's like a jet airplane, all the gas coming out of there. This is no way it can end up good. Just now I hear the sirens going off. Sirens are going. Here comes fire trucks and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, what an event. He comes out with these specialized tools. It was a toolbox that had just a half, big mallet and a wooden plug. And he gets that out like he had done it 100 times. And he gets it out and he comes over and pops it in there and it stops. Well, we're in the fire department. The gas people have to cut it off. I said, well, I wonder what this is going to cost. And he said, the gas people told me, he said, well, who knows? You knocked the meter off. Well, no. I mean, there's no way to charge you. There was no meter on there. It didn't cost me anything. I said, how could this end good? I knew I needed the Lord. I was in a place that I was frantic, and I was begging the Lord to help, to do something about it. And when it was all said and done, goodness and mercy had followed me. And so I want to recommend to you tonight the Good Shepherd. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Shepherd gives his life. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. You'll never regret having the Lord lead and guide your life. He'll do it right. Everything that He brings in is goodness and mercy. You pray for me.